joined.
Good evening, Gabriella.
Good evening.
Do you have any questions for tonight?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. We'll wait. If the others have any questions, sometimes it jogs.
Okay.
Sometimes when somebody asks a question, it jogs something, and we have a very good discussion.
Great.
I hope you had a good Rosh Chodesh.
Absolutely. Did you?
Yes, I did. Very quiet.
Brandela
has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Do you have any questions for this evening?
I do have one question.
Well, I have an answer, but we're going to have to find out if the answer is for your question or not.
Okay, my question is, if you have a friend, and I know, well, can you share the same illness if you have a friend? Is that a tacoon thing? It's like when you said that people with the same date, birthdays, have a lot of the same tacoons together.
It's a good question. So let's give it a couple of more minutes and see if some other people come. And if not,
okay.
Then... Let's begin with the L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kitzabari Kite Bitchi Lurki Mood, Kilud, Kilurki Mood. Liakta L'Shem Yudhe Bavhe. Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vaihino Amadunai Eloheinu Alena Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananei Alena Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananehu. Randy, let me understand the question clearly.
Okay.
You're asking if somebody has a virus and they share that virus with another person unconsciously or just physically, if that's what happens. Is that a tikkun? Is that your question?
Well, that's a good question. Go ahead and answer that one, because mine was, I have a close friend, and it seems like when they have a body part, let's say, because I didn't ever say that, a body part that has a pain or an injury or something, it looks like that same body part on me gets that same pain and same injury. But I like the one you said about the virus.
Okay.
So answer both of them.
I will. Okay. I just want to be clear. When you say share a body part, if somebody passes away and leaves the kidney, they have different organs that get passed around to different people.
Right.
Are you asking if that's a tikkun?
No, okay. I'll be more specific. Okay. I have a leg injury, but my leg injury has been intensified because I have nerves in my back that are being closed off or constricted or whatever. Okay. A friend of mine just went through that whole scenario about a year ago, having the same thing. So does that mean that we have the same tikkun, since it's the same body part and same, everything that is involved is the same?
Okay. Now I understand the question. So do you remember in one of the basic classes I speak about, when you're driving on the freeway and you're in rush hour, and so you move, there's three lanes of cars and you're in the middle lane, and sometimes you pass the person on the left, you go a few feet ahead of them, and then sometimes you pass the person on the right and you go a few feet ahead of them, and then the person that you passed on the left passes you and moves ahead of you, and then the person on the right moves ahead of you. Do you remember any kind of discussion like that?
Yes, I do. And I had the same discussion today with another friend of mine using that same example.
Okay.
Very
and
good.
Do you remember what I explained? That
yeah.
The aura, for lack of a better word, we're calling it the aura, but it's really the surrounding light. But it extends out in every direction from you and from each person, 84 inches. And so when you, if you think about it, the width of a car lane, 84 inches is 7 feet. And the width of a car lane is like 10 feet. So when you're passing somebody in a car, you're roughly 10 feet from them, but their aura, their 84 inches is intertwining with your 84 inches.
Yeah, it's an overlap.
Right. And essentially what's happening is you're exchanging energy. And that exchange of energy is on an unconscious level. You're not aware of it. And they're not aware of receiving the energy. Or vice versa. They're sharing the energy with you and you're not aware of receiving it. But it's
happening.
That's
why when, That's why when some people move into next to you, sometimes you have to move away from them, and you don't know why you're doing it, but you're sensing that on an unconscious level, that 84 inches aura, that circle that overlaps. And their spirituality may not be on your level of spirituality, and they may be in the negative, and you're in the positive. Well, that's what repels you away from that person.
Correct. Or you feel that they're draining your energy, and so you move away.
Yeah, because some people suck it all up.
So all of that it's many different reasons. But essentially, every action that we do, every experience that we have in life is a tukum.
Right.
So we basically talked about three different scenarios. The last one I'm going to talk about is the question you've asked. But the others that I had mentioned is all related to...
Has joined.
It's all related to the tikkun that's taking place. So if a person dies and they share their kidneys and their liver and even their heart sometimes, all of these different transplants, that's all a tikkun. And the doctors who do the operations, all of them are involved in that tikkun. So it's all correcting because you're doing the sharing that needs to take place. Now, when someone has a pain or someone becomes ill, or I mentioned that if you share a virus with somebody, again, it's part of you that's a coon. Why did you share that virus with that person and not another person? Or maybe you shared it with 25 people. But each of that experience, the receiving of the virus and the sharing of the virus, is part of the tikkun between those two people. Now, when you have a pain or you have an illness, what part of your body that pain is experiencing is telling you what action that you did that you're cleansing. But we would all prefer not to have to cleanse with pain. We would prefer to cleanse with teshuvah. And the way the system works is you get a minor pain that's a wake-up call. And if you go to a Kabbalist or a student of Kabbalah and you ask, what is the issue with this body part that I'm feeling this pain, or the doctor diagnosed this illness? It's a wake-up call so that you don't have to experience some more severe pain. You can do teshuvah if you look in and understand what was the action that you did. But it can be, where you've asked a question, two people have the exact same pain in the exact same location, but one happened a year earlier. It does not mean that their actions were exactly the same. And the way to understand that is you can have two people named Helen, but they are totally different characters. They could have been born on the same day in the same minute in the same hospital, but it would be they were born to two different mothers. Or even if they were born, they were twins and they were born to the same mother. They are different souls. They have different history in their incarnations. So what they experience is a wake-up call for them from the pain. What they experience is individual to them. But all of it can be known if you take the time to do the analysis. Because every name will tell you the various character traits that you potentially have. And every day of the month where you have people born on the same day of the month, they will potentially have different character traits because they're never born in the same minute. And that minute relates to an astrological influence. So the best person to know what the meaning is you yourself, the person involved. The problem is you need to have the understanding and the intuition connected to the study of Kabbalah so that it can become clear what it is the tikkun is and what are you supposed to do teshuvah for so you don't have to experience any pain or any additional pain. But there is some similarity because it's the same body part.
Oh.
But it doesn't mean it's the same thing. Because you could have people named Helen born in the same day, the same hour, the same minute, in the same city. And one of them is an angry person, and one of them is peaceful and serene. What makes the difference? The history of the soul. What happened in their previous incarnation? Now, they're being born at the same time, the same location. They're being named the same name because they have similar tikkunim, but it will always be unique to them. And the only way you can delve into that is through the wisdom of Kabbalah and making the efforts and learning the tools and then applying the tools. So I hope it's now clear.
It's clear. So if that energy level bounces out for, what did you say, 84
inches.
Inches, okay. If it's 84...
That's 8 feet.
8 feet. So if it's going back to 84 instead of 8, then what does 84 relate to back in Gematria? What does it relate to?
Because 84 relates to the Gematria of Hanok. Is the hidden, teaching the hidden wisdom of Hashem. 84 is 42 times 2. 42 is creation. The Anabakoach. So there's direct light of creation, and there's returning light of creation. And that's what 84 relates to. But you don't make the mistake of saying just because it's 84 inches that that is clearly a meaningful number in that respect, because 84 inches, I'm making up this number, is 60 centimeters. And people have different forms of measurements. So when it's 84 inches, it's how many, so many centimeters. And so it's a different understanding, but you've grown up, you've lived in a location where they're using a different form of measurements. And there's a connection between your soul and that form of measurements, or you wouldn't have been born into that society.
Wow.
The basic class on relativity will help you understand all of this.
Yeah, because everything is relative to the person.
Everything is relative to the soul. And more importantly, it's relative to the body part, the soul within that body part. And that's where the Western world that we've all grown up with in America, being taught that everybody is equal. It's a false statement. Everybody is not equal in their attributes. They're not equal in their skills. But we can make the statement that everybody is equal in that Hashem gave them those skills and those attributes in order to make their tikkun, to achieve what they came here to achieve. And in that sense, everyone is equal. Everyone is a spark of Hashem. Everyone is equally loved by Hashem. Providing they do their work, their spiritual work. But some people do greater spiritual work, not because they are smarter or brighter or more aggressive. They do the work because Hashem gave them that attribute and they've implemented it. But when someone goes above and beyond that comfort zone, goes the extra mile, that's when Hashem's love expands. The person who goes the extra mile is more appreciated by Hashem, because by going the extra mile, you're revealing a greater amount of Hashem's love and energy. So everybody is equal, but not in the way we have been taught in this Western world.
Right.
And that's part of what the study of Kabbalah helps you break out of and recognize that is a limitation, because it's not true. And once you break that limitation, which is breaking the klipa, you will begin to see the totality and how it all works, and how it's all relative to the people involved. Now, I know some people came late, so they may not have understood our conversation and how we were answering the questions. So I will now ask, are there other questions, or would you like some additional clarity?
I have another question.
You're two in one night, Brandy. I don't know if I can handle that.
I don't know. It's a big thing. You better hold your hand up to the ceiling and make sure it don't fall.
Well, that's not a problem. Holding the ceiling up is the problem.
Oh, okay. My second question is... I know, you're so funny. My second question is, does every body part have its own soul and then it merges into one with all the different, I guess you would call it facets or dimensions within it, so that they do their own cocoon?
How many mitzvot are there?
316.
No, it's close, but it's 365 negative mitzvot.
Oh.
And 248 positive mitzvot. For a total of 613 mitzvot. Hold on a second. So you have 613 mitzvot, and there are 613 body parts. There's 365 what's called sinews, meaning veins and ligaments, soft body parts, body tissue. And there's 248 organs, bones, etc. Each one of those body parts has five levels of soul. A nefesh, a ruach, a neshama, a chaya, and a yechida. Each one of those body parts has a nefesh, but we as human beings put a name to the combination of the 613 body parts, soul parts. And we put a name to the 613 levels of the soul, meaning the nefesh, 613 parts of the ruach, 613 parts of the neshama. And those three levels, we put one name to, or sometimes two names. Or in many other cultures, they'll put three or four names. But what happens if you say the nighttime Shema properly, and if one of your body parts and one of the levels of that body part completed its tikkun, when you go to sleep that night, that body part goes into the heavens for that body part. And a new body part comes into your body. A new soul part comes into your body. And then when you wake up in the morning, you're not the same person. But you haven't changed so much that you feel a need to change your name.
So then
but over
are you...
years, let me finish. Over years of changing body parts, and remember, those body parts in our generation are the body parts that didn't complete their tikkun in earlier incarnations. So those body parts, those soul parts, may not be from the same individual person who was considered one of the 600,000 souls that walked in the desert. And part of the, in my opinion, part of what happens during the 1,000 years of the Shabbat, the difference between the year 6,000 and 7,000, part of that will be the body parts that are resurrected with the soul parts that achieve tikkunin. People are going to meet each other all from all over the world in order to exchange the soul parts and gather themselves back into one of the 600,000 souls from that walked in the desert. Now, it's as complicated as that. Like in this computer program.
Well, that's just what I was thinking, that every time that a body part does its thing it's supposed to do, and it when you go to sleep at night and it goes up, that it's building a new body for the tikkun, not tikkun olam, but for the world to come. And so what you just said is not complicated to me, because that's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. Was everything that's good clear to other people on the call?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Does
anybody else? Go ahead.
You said if you say the nighttime Shema properly, what are you referring to?
Do you say the nighttime Shema?
I do.
You say the two lines, Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem?
Yes.
You say the V'ahavta?
Yes.
You say the balance of the 248 words?
Almost all of them.
I'll take that as a no. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just going through the process. The nighttime Shema has 10 steps. You can call them Sefirot because they're basically 10 stages. And on our website, on the unique astrological times link, right at the beginning, you'll see a link for the Shema Yisrael, and right underneath that, a link for the nighttime Shema. And if you take a look at that and start doing that one, you're moving in the direction of doing it properly. But there's Kavanot, and the Kavanot is not presented on that form, because I've borrowed the form. It came from the Daily Zohar, and I there's so many other levels of Kavanah that are discussed, and I don't know if Chana's on the call or not, but she does some of it, but not all of it. I don't do all of it because it's complicated. But the Shema Yisrael is actually a sword. And the fact that there are 49 letters in the first two lines, Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, has 49 letters. And the fact that there's 42 words in the V'ahavta. And so there's a connection to the Ana B'Koach. When you say the V'ahavta, each word you say, you should think of one of the letters in sequence of the Ana B'Koach. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Yud, Tav, Tzadid is the first six words in the V'ahavta.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the next paragraph is 72 words. So it connects to the 72 names of God. So every word you say you need to connect to the three-letter name that's associated with that word. And then the third paragraph has 50 words, which is connecting to the 50 levels of Bina, 50 gates of Bina. And then the fourth paragraph has 72 words, which connects to the 72 names of God that were revealed by Tzadikim. And if you did all of the Kavanot, it could only take you 7 hours, so don't bother to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I am joking, but I'm not joking. There is much. So doing it properly, one of the verses that is said in the nighttime Shema literally, what the Ari teaches us in the advanced reincarnation classes is that if a soul part has achieved tikkun, if that soul part is on the level of the ruach or the neshama, excuse me, the ruach or the nefesh, then when that soul part goes up, if you don't do the nighttime Shema, but that soul part has achieved its tikkun, you're going to need to die, be reincarnated with this exact same soul parts, plus that one soul part that's new. But if you say the particular verse as part of the nighttime Shema, it's a shortcut where you can save those 20 years and you don't have to reincarnate. That soul part will come down with the rest of you. And when enough of those soul parts come down, you feel a need to change your name. So it's very complicated, and yet it's very simple. But I highly recommend you start utilizing the nighttime Shema that's on the website right now. And in time, we'll be adding the additional Kavanot.
Okay.
Any other questions? Everybody is so quiet.
I guess a lot to think about.
It's a lot of material that we went through very quickly.
I have a question.
The
Siddur, is that the nighttime Shema in the Siddur?
Depends on the Siddur you're using. If it's the art scroll, yes.
Yes, it's art scroll.
Okay. In the art scroll, do they give you Kavanot in those? Well, I know they don't give you on the four different paragraphs, but when you get to the part where you need to say the Ana B'Koach, they tell you to say the verse associated with that night three times after you say the Ana B'Koach completely?
I'll have to go back and look. I'm not sure. I'll have to check that out for you.
And also, you say the words about King Shlomo. There's a verse that you say three times. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay. So those are different aspects of helping you rise through the levels to get this to the right place where the evaluation of whether that soul part achieves its tikkun. And most nights, you know, we don't have any soul parts that change.
And does this need to be said before midnight, right? Is there...
No, it needs to be said before midnight. There's a certain part of the blessing that if you're going to sleep after midnight, you don't say.
Okay.
And again, it's all, if you take a look at what you have in Art Scroll and then what you have on the handout from the Yeshem webpage, you know, and you'll put them together.
Okay.
You can make notes in your siddur to remind you what to do.
Right. Okay.
So, Oak, is that found on the unique astrological page?
Yes. Any other questions?
No, not for me, but thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. You all have a beautiful evening, and remember there's three classes tomorrow. Sefer Yetzirah at 11 o'clock, West Coast time, the Deep Zohar at 4:30, and at 7 o'clock, will be an RE class because the Devarim has no direct Zohar, we know. So you all have a beautiful evening.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Gadol.